Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Dear God, that you are speaking through me, dear God, will be able to impact the people that are here today, dear God. Allow us to have a strong connection with you, oh God, and build our relationship with you, dear God, so that people can see you when they see us, oh God. And we thank you right now, dear God, even the things that I don't speak, allow your Holy Spirit to speak. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Somebody say sin. We are talking about sin. Now, we talked about sin last week. This is part two on our sin series. And I'm going to say some of the things that we're going to go over is, what is sin? How do we define sin? How should Christians look at sin? And the bondage of sin. God gave me when it was 5 o'clock the day after New Year's. I'm laying in my bed 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, a lot of us don't like that kind of time. I don't like that time either. But God spoke to me. He said, tell the people to get out of the bondage that they're in. And a lot of times, if people don't know they're in bondage, they'll stay there, right? If some people don't know what the bondage is, they're forced to stay there. But God has given us the Word of God to allow us to know what bondage is and to be free from bondage. Amen? So the last thing I talked about was, every sin equals death. Somebody say death. Now, that doesn't mean natural death, because we've sinned before, right? We might have said a bad word today. We might have did something that wasn't pleasing to God. Did you die in your physical body? No. But where you die is in your spirit man. Each and every time you sin, your spirit man dies. And until you repent, ask for forgiveness, you are in a spiritually dead state. And that's why it's important to be quick to repent. The Bible says, be slow to listen, slow to speak, quick to listen, and quick to what? Hear, right? Quick to listen, I'm saying the same thing. I'm going to have to look that up. It's in James. But every single sin equals death, spiritual death versus fleshly death. Now, we're going to go to the first scripture, Ephesians 2, 1 through 4. And when you got it, you can say word, because that's what this is, the word. Amen. Ephesians 2, 1 through 4, and they're going to have it up there as well. All right. And it says, and you he made alive. Say alive. And you he made alive. Gave us freedom of the bondage that we were under. Now, it does talk about not works, but when it says not works, that doesn't mean that you say it's okay for me to sin, okay? We can't say, oh, well, I'm saved by grace and not works, and so God, if I got grace, hey, just let me slide a little bit. No, grace is not a get out of jail free card, okay? There are still things that go along with grace. When you have received God, it says the children of God should walk worthy of the call, amen? So we talk about that as we are talking about sin. So we, like I said, sin is a death. It's a spiritual death. But it also can lead to a fleshly death. There's a scripture that I was reading earlier. It said 1 John 5:17 in the Amplified. It says, all wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin which does not involve death, that may be repented of and forgiven. Now, I was thinking about that. As long as you can repent, as long as you're alive and you can repent, that means God will forgive you. Right? There's plenty of times I was talking, I do a radio show, and one of the guys that I was interviewing, he was like, man, every day we have to walk in repentance. Every day we have to walk in repentance. You know, everybody says we walk in grace, we walk in mercy, we walk in truth, but every day we have to walk in repentance, because even when I think I'm doing right, I am outside of the will of God. Because I'm thinking, hey, I got this under control, or I can handle this. But God is saying, hey, let me work in you, continue to submit yourself to me, and see what I could do. Amen? All right, we're going to go to the next point. Sin nature. Before Christ came into our lives, like I said, we were involved in this thing called sin nature. Now, what does nature mean? Anybody, come on, give me a nice, you guys are all in college. Come on, somebody give me a nature definition. We got a smartphone person? Natural. There we go. Something that is natural, right? Sin was natural to you before you came to Jesus. That's what people did. If it came to cussing somebody out, you didn't even think twice. Oh, man, blankety blank that person. And you just kept on, hey, that's what I do. But see, when you come to Jesus, you are, as our church is called, you are becoming a new creation. It says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, the old has gone. Somebody say gone. That old man has to leave in order for the new man to come. See, I think today in what we call Christianity, a lot of people don't want to get rid of their old man. They want to hold on to their old man. They say, oh, man, my old man is cool, though. Like, I mean, my old man got friends, you know, like God can't give you friends. Right. But you got the old man and you keep it with you. It's like your sidekick. You got the new man for when you go to church, you know, or when you around the church friends and church people and you know, when you're at playing church games, then you got the old man for when you want to do the old man stuff, right? But God says that old man has to go. Sin is connected to your old man. Sin is constantly leading you when you were in your old man state. So that's why it talks about in Romans chapter 12, we have to renew our minds because your old mind says, oh, I can go do that. Oh, man, I need to go. But your new man says, what does the word of God say? Okay. The word of God says, when my enemies come at me, I have to be nice to them. I can't repay evil for evil. It says that in 1 Peter. I have to return goodness to those that do evil to me. Now, come on, man. Even in some of our states right now, if somebody did evil to us, we want to get them back. Right? We want to take their head off. And I don't condone things like that. Okay? But that's the old man. Those are the old men being risen in us. And that's why it's important, as my dad is actually preaching right now, for us to be discipled in God, because there's going to be some times where you're going to have to do things that you don't want to do that somebody has to hold you accountable to do. Amen? Sometimes it has to be your church leader. They got a whole bunch of names for church leaders these days. I don't know all the names, but sometimes your church leader is going to tell you something that is in the word that you're not going to want to do. Guess what? Jesus did the same thing to his disciples. Peter was like, no, God, don't let him. He said, Satan, get behind me. You guys remember that? You guys don't remember that a little bit? Now I was thinking about it, man. Sometimes, man, if Jesus calls you Satan, you must have been doing something wrong, right? You must have been bad. And see, in Peter's mind, that was nothing bad. That was his old man. I'm going to protect Jesus. He pulled out the sword, cut somebody's ear off. Like, who else is going to touch Jesus? Nobody. Or I'll cut your tongue off. You know, he was just, that's the kind of stuff that he was doing. And Jesus was like, put your sword away, man. That's not how I do it here. So even the disciples, that's why they were with Jesus for such a long time before they went out to go minister the word of God, because they had to be retrained. Somebody say retrained. It's like a computer, man. If you want a computer to work right, you want it to work the way. Speaking of computers, I just got a computer. Bought it off Craigslist. Now, Craigslist is a good place to get cheap computers, right? So I got a computer, and I was trying to get things to work, and this guy had passwords on there, so I had to find out, what password is this? He had other passwords on top of other passwords, so I was like, man, this is not working. So in order for me to get the computer to work, I had to reprogram the computer. I had to get one of those disks, and I need one for my, never mind. Those disks that reprogram the computer. What do they call those disks? Somebody help me. Recovery disk, boot up disk. You got to have one of those disks. In a Mac, you just have to have the OS X software disk. They make it easy. I don't know the name. But I had to reboot the computer so I can get it to work the way that it needed to be to work. And God has to reboot us so that we can work the way that he wants us to work. Amen? So let's talk about God's view of sin. How does God look at sin? Come on, you guys can go ahead and answer. You don't have to raise your hands. How does God look at sin? He hates it. He's what? It's wrong. This is not preached a lot because, you know, we can't even tell people in school they're wrong. You just be like, that wasn't the answer that we were looking for at this moment. You know, but it was wrong, right? 2 + 2, if you got a kindergartner and they say 6, and you say, you can't say no. You say, I don't think that was the one we're looking for right now. Just say that. I mean, sometimes you have to be told what is right and what's wrong. And I think when we look at sin, we have to say, how does God look at sin? And our job as Christians is to mirror how God or even how Jesus lived his life. Amen? So when we look at sin, we have to look at it as something that we detest. I watch a lot of old movies, right? I watch movies 1960 and under, and that's about it. Classics. Everybody say classics. So in one of these movies, it was probably like the 1950s, this man, and the good thing about these kind of movies, they don't show all the stuff. They just close the door and you know what happened. So in this movie, this man, he ends up cheating on his wife. And he comes back home and he thinks his wife doesn't know. His wife finds out, right? And what she does, like most of the old people, the old man do, they go and retaliate. So she went and cheated on him. And then she came back like, oh, we're even. But I was like, man, in my spirit, that made me sick. Why? Because that is not how God works. You can't just do an evil you can't do evil and try to get back with evil and think you guys, oh, it's not like a negative and a negative are going to come positive in that sentence. I never knew how that happened in math either. But when you put two negatives together, it just continues to get negative. It doesn't change. And see, we talked about that earlier. Evil for evil, that doesn't change anything. When we think of sin, the only way that we can be freed from sin is by repenting and being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? So when God looks at sin, we have to say, do I look at sin like God looks at sin? Not do I look at sin partially like God looks at sin, because it might hurt this person's feeling if we think that sin is wrong. No, what does God say? God is not moved by our opinion, right? He's not moved by what you think, what your friend thinks. He says this is right and this is wrong. He has the final authority, and we have to make sure we look at sin the same way. So that's how we should view sin. Another thing that we talk about is the deceitfulness of sin. Somebody say deceit. Now, sin is very deceitful in this. The Bible even says it is pleasurable for a season, right? It says that sin is pleasurable for a season. If sin didn't feel good, look good, taste good, people wouldn't sin, right? Because people don't like, who likes, now I know some people like vegetables, but when you were growing up, the very first thing that came out your mouth was not, can I have some peas, right? So I don't like peas to this day. Matter of fact, if you put it on my plate, I hurry up and eat it. I put some meat with it and try to blend it in and be like, okay, I'm done. Now I can eat what I like. But we never just said, I like peas. What we say, I like candy. Can I have candy? My kids, I got 3 kids. 2 of them are in candy stages. They wake up in the morning, Dad, can we have some candy? And I'm like, no, son, it's breakfast time. Lunchtime. Dad, can we have some candy? Well, you know, maybe after your lunch. Or can we have ice cream for breakfast? Now, some days, some people would get their kids ice cream for breakfast, right? Sometimes grandparents will, because I don't understand how that happened, man. I didn't get ice cream for breakfast. I take my kids to their house. They get ice cream for breakfast. I'm like, man, what happened? Why did I miss out? Yep, that's right. So you sugar them up before they come to my house, and now I'm like, why is my son running on the wall, literally? And they do that. But sin, just like some of that food that we love, is deceitful. We think, oh, man, oh, I got to have my fix. I got to have a Snickers bar. Oh, man. You eat it, and you're like, oh. And then you go to the dentist a couple months later, and you're like, no. How did I get this cavity? How did I get this? My stomach hurts. I mean, how many know kids, when they eat all that candy, their stomach hurts? They come to my house, and they having stomach problems. And they cry, Daddy, pray for my stomach. Why? Because they thought something was good that really wasn't good for them. And we are like children in that sense when it comes to sin. Even Adam and Eve, just picture this thing. Eve had every other fruit in the garden taste good. She never complained about how those other fruits tasted, right? She never said, man, this apple is sour, right? They didn't have problems with their food like that. It's not like our agricultural system now. You know, everything was clean. They didn't even have to wash it. It was just ready to eat, right? Ready to eat pears, plums, grapes, whatever. They had it all. And then this snake, first of all, I don't know how you listen to a snake, right? I don't like snakes. Some people might like snakes, but snakes are not I think it's cursed like Jesus said, or God, the Bible said. Anyway, but a snake comes and tells you, and this is funny. I wonder about this. I wonder if all the other animals talk, man. You know, this is a side note. Because the snake talks, right? It said the snake told her. How did the snake talk? Just imagine if snakes were talking today. Whew. That'd be crazy. They'd be like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to strangle you. You know? Like, just imagine the snake. It just, you know, we got it in Jungle Book, so we see how they talk. But that is interesting to me. Why did she listen to a snake that said, I got something better for you than God? Why? Because it looked good at that moment, right? Somebody say it looked good. And when she ate it, she said it tasted good. And just like sin is pleasurable for a season. The deceitfulness of sin is it. Everything that sin is, you look, you turn on the TV, you see women on the TV, and you say, oh, my son, and this is why you got to watch what the kids watch. My son see a commercial, and he says, that's a girl, Daddy. And I'm like, yeah, I know that's a girl. What do you mean? She's pretty, Daddy. And I'm like, if she don't love God, she ain't pretty. I don't know if she love God, so don't say she pretty. You know, and when you have that ingrained at a young age, he's going to remember that. My daughter was talking to my son yesterday. She was like, I don't want to marry that guy. I'm going to marry him. And they were just, you know, kids fantasizing, you know. And I was like, you ain't going to marry him if he don't love Jesus. I always say stuff like that so they know. And she says, okay, Daddy. Like I just took her Prince Charming from him. But that is how we have to be. Because a lot of the marriages that people think look good, since they're not lined up with the word of God, and anything outside of the word or the will of God is sin, they don't last. Hearts broken. They're trying to fix it on their own when God has given us the clear pathway to know how to fix it. I'm going to switch. Can I get a different mic? Mike, can you give me that mic? Mike. That's my brother. So sin is very deceitful. One of the deceits of sin is the bondage of sin. Thank you. Somebody say bondage. Sin comes with bondage, like I said earlier. Now, as I was prepping for this part of the message, God gave me a couple of scriptures. And one of them is, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Somebody say liberty. When you are in the Spirit of God, you cannot walk in sin. So therefore, when you are in the Spirit of God, you have freedom. When you're outside of the Spirit of God, you have what? Bondage. Somebody say bondage. Now, I was talking to somebody on the phone, one of my brothers, Iman, and we were just talking about the state of Christian hip hop. I listen to a lot of Christian hip hop or even just gospel music in general. And we were talking about how people want to be like the Christian Christina Aguilera or the Christian T-Pain or the Christian name one of the world's artists. Please don't let them be your favorite. But Jay-Z, they want to be the Christian version. And I was like, man, they don't know what they're saying. Because some of them are possessed, first of all, by the enemy. You want to be the Christian version of somebody that's in the world. And unfortunately, they don't have the freedom. They're in bondage a lot of times. And I'm not going to say there might not be some Christian out there. But I'm just saying we have to really monitor what we say when we say, hey, I want to be like this person, without knowing what that person has, without knowing what that person really is dealing with inside of them. The only person that we should truly be able to say that is, hey, I want to be like Jesus, right? Now, I know we live in a fashion day. I mean, you guys all got fashion. You guys all got your different, I call it swag. You got your different swag, got your different outfits. Now, you might like something that somebody else wears, right? There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, man, I wish I had a scarf like that, right? And she's like, yeah, you want the scarf like me, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with saying that. Or saying, hey, man, I don't like my glasses. I saw somebody else with some other glasses. I really like those joints. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we want to emulate our lifestyle after somebody, there is something wrong with that, right? We have to be very careful, unless it's somebody that is following after God. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So there was sometimes you might see a pastor or a minister in your church, a praise and worship leader, and say, man, I really enjoy what she's doing when she's worshiping God. Can I learn how you started to learn how to worship? Can I take notes? There's nothing wrong with that, because these people are following after God. Amen. And it's a good thing to have people in your life like that. I remember the way that I learned how to do clap and two-step in church, you know, when the songs was going. I saw an older brother, Richard Mullen. I used to always try to copy his footsteps. And, you know, you have to learn from somebody. So I used to copy his footsteps. And I was like, okay, I got this. And then I started putting my own little twists in it, you know, so I can get my own style. But you guys are laughing. Let's go to this chapter. Genesis chapter 4. Now, last month, I only preach once a month, we talked about Adam and Eve's sin. We're going to go to Cain and Abel, but we're going to talk about Cain because he's the one that sinned, okay? Let's go there. When you got it, you can say word. So Genesis chapter 4, right? Yep. All right. Okay, here we go. Now Adam knew his wife, Eve. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. All right, let me talk about countenance. What is countenance? Attitude, the way his face looks almost, right? Now, I know people that had lived for the Lord, and now they are not living for God. And when I see them, I'd be like, man, you are not happy. I can see it. And they could be smiling. Why? Because their countenance has failed. This thing is so serious. A lot of times the Bible talks about the eyes being the lamps that enter the soul. You can see what somebody is about when you look into their eyes. I was trying to train one of my little sisters in that. I said, like, I can tell all your friends, I can tell what your friends are into by looking into their eyes. And I'm not saying it like I got magic power, right? But you can usually tell if somebody's a good person or a bad person by the way that their eyes are, by what their eyes follow, by the way that they do things. But Cain's countenance fell because he was angry at God. Some of us, we might not do something illegal. We might not do something like what we call wrong. But when we are angry at God, that is also sin. Right? Now, it's interesting because a lot of people in the church, we don't talk about people being angry at God. But being angry at God is going to separate you from God, because now you're saying, I don't really trust you, God. I think, God, you messed up a little bit somewhere. And since I'm angry at you, I'm not really going to listen to you as much as I used to until you kind of get on my terms, God. Like, you know, like we try to boss God, right? Like, God, man, I don't know if you really know what you're doing. That's kind of the way that Cain felt right here. He felt disrespected because God did not accept his offering. And he got angry at God and his countenance fell. But look, this is what God said to him. He said, so the Lord said to Cain, verse 6, why are you angry? Now, did God know why he was angry? You know, God, when God asks questions, he asks questions for a reason. He's like, why are you angry? Because Cain might not even know really why he was angry, right? How many of us get angry sometimes and we don't really know why we're angry? We're just angry. You go on for days, you're just angry, angry, angry. People say, why are you angry? I don't know. Right? I don't know. Maybe you haven't been angry like that. Thank God. And he also asked, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Now listen to what he just said. God said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Somebody say sin. Lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. God is telling you, man, listen, you should rule over sin. Don't let sin rule over you. Sin is at every turn, every nook, every whatever you want to call it, it's ready to rule over you. When something is in ruler, as a ruler over you, and sin is not a nice ruler. Like I said, it is going to control you. It's going to lead you in bondage. But God said, and if you do well, you will be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. If we stopped even there in this chapter, we have to look at ourselves and say, man, God is warning me. Hey, why are you angry? Why do you feel that way right now? Why? Because the devil, he's going to test all those whys. He's going to say, man, well, do you really believe that? God said that, but why did he say that? Because the devil, he doesn't make anything. He hasn't created anything. He just distorts everything. You think about love. The devil distorts love. Now we call it lust. Right? The devil distorts so many things. He distorts friendships, and friendships turns to enemies. And enemies turn to, I want to take your head off. I said that before. I don't want to take nobody's head off, though. But this is something that we have to ask ourselves. If I do well, will I not be accepted? Now, once again, salvation is not from you just doing good your whole life. It is from accepting God and following his plan for you. And the only way that you can know his plan is by being in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and becoming the Word of God. Now, I don't want you all to become a book, right? We don't want you to, you know, close up and be a book. I'm a book. Get a Holy Bible tattoo or something. I'm not saying that. But you, what you need to do, you like my book spine? Yeah, she got that. I didn't even catch that. I just caught it from her. But listen, when you have that, you have to be the living Bible for some people. Sometimes, especially in some of the places that we are in, they don't want you to bring a Bible in. I remember I went to college. I went to Shoreline Community College. I brought a Bible into school. You know, I wasn't thinking about it. This is what I do normally. I had a Bible, put it on my desk, walked away from my desk, and people were like, "That's a Bible." And I was like, "Dang, they're tripping about the Bible." They were like, "Hey, he got a Bible. He got a..." And I was like, "Wow, never." But there's power in the Bible. There's power in the Word of God. And when you can leave the Bible at home and say, "Oh man, I got the Word of God in me. I got it stored up." So if somebody asks me, "Hey, what do you think about I got to get back at this person." Well, what I believe you should do is repay good versus repay evil. And they're going to be like, "Man, why you say something like that?" Because now they're like, man, they're all flustered. Like, dang, why he say that? I was about to get this person back. Why? Because the Bible is trained in you. It's not only, you don't even have to quote the scripture. You can say, "I really feel like you should do what God's word says," without saying the scripture. Because that's the way that we have to preach to some people nowadays. And if they ask you, "Where did you get that from?" Then you can tell them, "Oh, I got that from the Bible. It's a great book. You should read it." I'm pretty sure they got them at the library. You can take it home. Or, I mean, they got Bibles everywhere, online. But let's look at verse 8. "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." Now, this was the first murder that we saw, right? That was in scripture. This is the first murder that ever happened. After Cain and Abel, they didn't have to eat no fruit to have sin, right? They already were born in sin because of the sin nature that was in Adam and Eve now. So, I mean, I don't know if Cain really thought he was going to kill his brother. What was Cain thinking? I know one thing, he didn't want to listen to God at this point, right? Because God was saying, "Hey, man, do the right thing, Spike Lee, do the right thing. Or do the wrong thing." God gave him a warning. What are you going to do? And Cain rejected God's divine instructions. Just imagine God speaking to us, and this happens today. Many of us hear the voice of God, or we read the word of God, and we reject his word, stiff arm him, say, "I want to be the Heisman." And we don't listen to God. And by rejecting him, we are now in dangerous territory. By rejecting God, we are putting ourselves in or under the rule of sin. You see that? See that what happened with Cain? Before Cain went to kill his brother, he rejected the word of God. Right? He had to reject God's word before he went to because he went quick. "Man, let me go get Abel, man. Let me go take that guy out." That's what he did. And then the Lord said in verse 9 to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And usually when you're the older brother, you're supposed to, supposed to at least take care of him a little bit, right? And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth." Somebody say cursed. which has opened its mouth to receive the brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. Cain, for the rest of his life, was on the run. There wasn't even no police back then. Just think about it. He was on the run. See, this is why when people do wrong, even if the police don't catch them, their conscience is going to catch up to them. They start ducking every, oh, man, shoot. Oh, I thought that was a cop. Okay, let me keep going. Or, man, I thought that was the FBI. They after me. What'd you do? I stole a pack of bubble gum. The FBI don't go after people like that, right? Or we, a lot of us would be in FBI, whatever they put you in, prison. But Cain, even Cain said this. He said, Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He's like, man, I don't want to be on the run my whole life. But see, this is what sin does to you. It puts you on the run for your whole life. You duck in the sea. Oh, man, who's watching me? Should I, is it all right for me to do this? You in the room in the dark doing all kind of stuff you shouldn't be doing, thinking you're getting away with it. But your conscience is so guilty because sin is trying to master you. And some people say, how can I get free from this? I've been dealing with this thing all my life by reading and living the word of God. The Bible says he always leaves an escape for temptation. There's always a door to get out of when you're dealing with temptation. We even see it with Cain. God told Cain, do right and you'll be cool. I got you if you just do the right thing. You can make another sacrifice to me tomorrow. Bring the nice fruit. You know, don't give me the stuff that was that you stepped on the way here. Like, give me something good. He could have came and God would have smiled on him. He would have been happy. But he was like, no. Oh. He liked his stuff. And he envied Abel. And he killed Abel. Verse 14 says, surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain. Somebody say a mark. On Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Now, I wonder what kind of mark he put on. You know, we read the Bible sometimes and, you know, what kind of mark did he put on Cain? Did he put an X on his forehead? Like, or did he say, don't kill Cain? You know, like, what did he put on him so people didn't know it? They knew that not to kill him. You know, that's interesting, right? I like stuff like that in the Bible. You know, just leave it to your imagination. He had a mark on him. There was something that made him distinct that said, don't touch this guy. Or you're going to get his curse how many times more than him? Sevenfold. You're going to be on the run seven times. Interesting. And in all of this, Cain never repented. That's something that we got to look at. He never said, God, I'm sorry. He the only thing he complained about was, man, this is too difficult for me. I don't know if this, man, somebody might kill me. He didn't go back to God and say, God, let me get in right standing with you. Because God could have forgiven him even for killing his brother. Right? We believe that? Some of us is like, ah, yeah, maybe. Yes, God can forgive you. You know, see, this is the power of God's forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you do. As soon as you ask for forgiveness, he throws that into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't even remember it. Why? Not because God has a bad memory, but because he chooses not to remember it. God doesn't pull up your old sin and say, but look at this sin that you used to do. Did you see this sin? Okay. You see this sin? Okay. God doesn't do that. Once you ask for forgiveness. Now, if you go to the judgment without having Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he's going to pull up all that stuff and say, do you see this? Oh, well, you didn't make it in because of all of this stuff. But it's good to see that God always gives us an escape. Amen. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 6. Romans was written to the Christians in Rome by Paul. And this whole thing is about being dead to sin and alive to God and not being slaves to sin. And why do I keep saying this? Because it's important that we know that we can be free from the things that so many of the people in the world are trapped in if we apply the word of God to our life. Amen. If even we might have to put ourselves in positions where we're not being tempted. We might have to say, hey, man, let me instead of going to that party tonight, let me go spend time in prayer. Or let me go to my mom's house so I don't have to go to the party. Like, the party is not the only place where you can go have fun, right? It's interesting when our friends ask us, oh, man, my life is miserable. You're at home like, why didn't I go to that party? We sound like Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh. I haven't seen that in a minute. But, you know, I haven't. I got to get that for my kids, though. But, you know, Eeyore, he's always just like, yeah, man, life is beautiful. Everything is good. Right? And when he says stuff like that, people don't believe him. Right? Because they believe your actions. Your friends, when you keep telling them, I don't want to go to this party, but if your actions don't say the same thing, they're going to keep on asking you. Or, hey, man, you don't want to do that? Nah, man, not this time. And when you kind of, that leaves the door open for them. But when you say, hey, man, look, that's not what I do. I'm a Christian. I changed my life. That might have been in an old man, but I don't have the old man with me no more. I kicked him to the curb. He got the boot like the devil did. We got rid of him. So I'm not going to your party. Don't ask me to come to your party. If you start saying stuff like that, they won't ask you to go to the party. I guarantee you. Right? You have to do that. Romans chapter 6, verse 1, we're going to read this chapter, and I probably will close, and I'm probably going to pick up back in this chapter, but it says this: what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, this is a question that Paul had to ask people, because some people thought, if I have grace, it's okay for me to sin. You guys see that right there? Shall I continue? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul answers the question. What does he say? Verse 2. Come on, say it with some authority. That's why he has that exclamation point, right? If your friends ask you to go to, I don't want to go to that party. Leave me alone. That's not what I want to do. With an exclamation mark. Not, I don't want to go to that party. Sometimes you got to get strong about what you believe in, right? So Paul says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin, somebody say died, to sin live any longer in it? So this is very important. We died to sin. Just like Jesus died on the cross for our sins, when we accept him, we died to sin. Right? We died to that sinful mindset. Says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? This is what I was explaining. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised, somebody say raised, from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Paul once again makes a clear distinction that you are now dead to sin. The way that you used to live, you have to be dead to that. What does that mean? There's no way that you're coming back to that because you're dead to that. Now, some of us say, man, but I don't. Life is so hard, man. Why did they make Christianity so hard? I mean, we don't have it that bad. I've seen a Christian get beheaded before. And when I saw that, that made me say, bro, I got to go harder for God because those days are coming. We don't have it as bad as even the people in the Bible. Every disciple that was in the Bible got killed except one. And guess what happened to that guy? He got put on an island, and it wasn't Survivor. You know? He got put on an island and left to die. That was the benefit that they got for being a Christian, right? Some people say that's not a benefit. But temporary pain, the Bible talks about temporary pain will never surpass the eternal glory that you're going to receive from God the Father when you live according to what he's given. It says in verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm sorry. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him." Somebody say the old man was crucified. Picture that old person that you used to do, the old person that you used to be on the cross next to Jesus. Being crucified. Start visualize that. The stuff that I used to do, it was crucified. When you think about, hey, man, that person is dead. That person don't. I know we've had death in our family and people die in our family. Once they're dead, they're not coming back. They can't return. You have to look at your old man and say, that person is dead. If we don't look at it like that, we say, hey, man, it's all right if I go and do this. It's all right. I mean, he's not too far. But the word of God says that old man was crucified with him. In verse 6, the second part, it says, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be what? Come on, everybody say it. Slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. That's the freedom from bondage right there. Dying to your old man will free you from the bondage that you're in. A lot of us are still struggling with that old man. Thus, we don't have freedom. Right? You get depressed every now and then because you don't have freedom, because you're still struggling between the old man and the new man. When you're battling like that, you battle yourself. You're fighting yourself. Until you crucify your old man, you're fighting yourself. You can't even go out in the spiritual warfare yet because you are still stuck on yourself. Still stuck about, I wonder if I really died. I wonder if that was okay. No, we have to let that go and say, man, this word of God is what I have to become. I have to live this word. I have to breathe this word. I have to eat this word. And don't eat your Bible literally, because I've heard people do that. That doesn't work, right? Just because you have it inside of your stomach, it's going to come out, right? Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Somebody say live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Somebody say he lives to God. So if Jesus lives to God, then we live to God, right? We can easily say that. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to stop there. I'm probably going to pick back up in that same chapter. I'm not going to say probably. I will. I'm going to mark that. But you have to be dead to the sin that has captured so many of the people around you. The hard part about being a Christian is everybody around you is sinning and they make it look good, right? They make it look enticing. They make it look awesome. They make it look, oh, man, everybody's doing it. And then you got to remember, that's your old man. And check this out. If you explain to them, hey, man, there's nothing really fun about that. We've done a lot of club ministry. We go to the clubs, and this is going to be my last story. And we're out there waiting for divine appointments, waiting to talk to somebody. Somebody's going to ask us a question. We share the gospel with them. We share who Jesus is. We share our testimony, something that God tells us to share. But into the club, I see some people, you know, they all tired, but they get in there, oh, yeah, it's great. And they hype themselves up, right? They hype themselves up to go in this place, and then they go home and be like, oh, that was fun. Why? Because they hype themselves up, right? What does hype themselves up mean? They prep themselves. They try to get themselves, as they call it, juiced up to go in there to have a good time. If we prep ourselves to say, man, when I'm in God, I'm having a good time. Matter of fact, you don't even have to prep yourself if you're really in God. You go to worship. I saw my sister with the Love Jesus shirt on. She come into praise and worship. She just smiling from ear to ear. Right? And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. We should all come like that. Next week, you guys better all be smiling. But if you come like that, you don't have to create a facade to say, man, I love Jesus. That's part of what you do. Amen? When we live in this world, we can be free from sin only if we walk in what God's word says. Amen? Let us stand up. Let's go home. Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.